It's been a crazy morning so far already, and I feel like, God, we're going to have a good sermon. I believe it, and I've been praying, and I feel like the enemy's kind of been throwing me some punches this morning, and so here we are. So we are going to be talking about spiritual gardening, specifically growing in Christ this morning. And so our scripture reference there, if you saw in the bulletin, is Matthew 13, 1 through 30. We're not going to be going through all those, but the majority of the verses are going to be found within that 1 through 30. And so if you want to turn there this morning, that's where we're going to be mainly. So we are officially in spring, although it's kind of going to be feeling like summer for us at our house since William's already done with school. And so we're getting a little head start on our summer break, about a week maybe, then Chapman, and then 3 or 2 weeks before Abilene. I'm not 100% sure, but so we're about to get in our summer routine, but officially it is still spring, right? And with that brings what? It brings gardening, right? Okay. My question for you guys is, do you garden? I mean, Do you even have a garden this year? Do you, is it full of, maybe it's like a small patch, or maybe it's a big garden? I know Mark and Glenna, y'all had at the community garden last year, didn't you? Which is a neat idea. It's something I love to see, and maybe one day I may try to do something out there, and so we don't have to tear up our backyard for what little yard we have, but There's a lot of things you can garden, and for me, I really love tomatoes, and those are probably some of my favorite things to garden, are cherry tomatoes specifically, although I am a sucker for a great heirloom tomato, specifically heirlooms. I love those, and I remember growing up and going to Indiana for the summers to spend time with my grandparents up there in Indiana, and my grandfather had these great tomatoes he would grow, heirloom tomatoes, every year he would grow them, and he would actually enter them in contests. I'm not 100% sure if he ever won anything, but they were good tomatoes. And if you've ever had a fresh garden tomato, you know there's a big difference between that and something you buy in a store. And I just remember having those, and we'd have them at every meal, lunch and dinner. We'd have tomatoes, sliced tomatoes, and It wasn't until I was older that I would start putting salt on them. I thought that was blasphemous, but now I can't get away from it. But they're one of my favorite things to grow, and we've never had success growing big tomatoes, but we've always had success growing cherry tomatoes or grape tomatoes, whatever you want to call them. And so I've kind of grown accustomed to those. But for us, we are struggling gardening this year. Typically, at this point, our days are filled with weeding, planting, watering, all the stuff you do in a garden. Mel and I usually are typically in the midst of that. But this year, it's kind of just not happening. We have some plants we're trying to start from seeds, and they're being very stubborn, I guess is the word, or they just may not work. I don't know. I don't know if that happens. Seeds just don't take, maybe. But we don't really have a garden, and I don't know if we're going to have one this year. Maybe we'll have some tomato plants or something. But as of right now, it's not happening. But what I've found, really, is that gardens are really a mixture of a whole bunch of work and then absolutely nothing. And that's kind of my take on gardening for the most part. And really, gardening needs really three things to thrive, okay? And that's water, sunlight, and soil, okay? Well, this morning, we're going to look at these three things and see how they can help us grow spiritually as well. They can help us in our spiritual garden as well, okay? And the first one that we're going to look at is soil. So the first spiritual gardening necessity is soil, okay? I'm not a farmer, and I'm far from a farmer. I'm probably a very poor gardener, But there's one thing I do know, that you need good soil, right? You need to have good soil to have things grow well, okay? The soil is important because the seed needs to build roots, right? And if the soil is too tough, it cannot go deep enough, right, into the soil, okay? And it will die. It won't have enough nutrition and it will die. Our lives with Christ can be similar, right? Much of our spiritual lives are determined by the foundation in which we have, right? As you ask different people why they maybe come to church, you'll get a variety of different answers, right? Some will say they come to church for fellowship, okay? Some will say they do it out of a duty or an obligation to be there. Some will say it's for just the experience. And others will say they come to hear God's word and to grow in their faith, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with coming to church expecting fellowship. Because when church meets together, what happens? There's fellowship that's happening. That's part of what church is. We naturally have fellowship. And fellowship is essential for our growth, okay? And there's nothing wrong with feeling like you have a duty or obligation to come to church. It's kind of built into who we are as Christians. We feel like we need to be there. And it's more of we want to be there instead of we have to be there, right? But I think our main motivation should be to come and learn more about Jesus. Because Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And so many people have weak and shallow faith because their foundation is not Jesus, okay? So if you're looking at building a building, if the building's foundation is not properly made, then the building won't stand. It will fall. It won't have that foundation it needs. When a plant is not firmly rooted, it will die because it cannot receive the nourishment it needs, right? And when a Christian does not have a good foundation, they can be more susceptible to backsliding or just losing their faith altogether, right? Plants need a good foundation of soil to start their growth. For Christians, our soil is Christ. Our foundation is Christ, okay? Christ nurtures us and he supports us. He gives us a place to extend our roots out, right? He gives us a place to spread our roots out safely. John 15:4, which I have up there, says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." Just like a plant needs nutrition-rich soil to thrive, Christ gives his children every possible nutrition that we need, right? Peace, love, encouragement, wisdom. And he doesn't just provide it. He provides it in abundance, okay? It's unlimited. But just as we need good soil, we also have to be aware of bad soil, right? So let's look at our first scripture this morning. In Matthew 13, we're going to look at verse 5. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 5. That says, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly because the soil was not deep. But when the sun came up, they were scorched, and because they did not have sufficient root, they withered." And if we jump down to verse 20 of the same chapter through 21, it says, "The seed sown on rocky ground is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but he has no root in himself and does not endure. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away." Church, we cannot be foolish in where what we're finding our foundation to be. The only soil to plant yourself is in Jesus Christ. And you got to make sure you can go deep in Jesus, right? So how do we know for sure we've planted ourselves in Jesus? Well, the question that we have to ask, or what we can do, is we can just simply look to the Word, right? We can look to Scripture. Because the Jesus in the Bible is the same today as it was yesterday, and it's the same today as it will be tomorrow, okay? And we can examine how our lives reflect Scripture. So, spiritual gardening necessity number two. So what else does plants need to grow? They need sunlight, okay? Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illuminate my path." Okay? So there's a story about two orphan brothers who they live in the not so great parts of New York City, okay? One of the boys is crippled, okay? And he can't walk. He doesn't get out of the house very much. It's a lot of hassle. And he hardly leaves ever. The older brother has to take care of him and buy him food and do all this stuff. Well, one day, in distress, the younger brother said that he has not seen the sunlight for a long time. The older brother thought of an idea. He put on his ragged clothes, ran down the street with a small piece of a broken mirror, okay? He stood in the sun with the mirror, and then someone asked him, "What are you doing?" Someone on the street asked him what he's doing. He said, "You see that window up there? I have a little brother staying in that room. He's crippled. The only sunlight he gets and can see is what I shine up to him with my mirror," okay? What a powerful example of someone taking care of somebody else. But more important, it kind of shows the importance of sunlight. We need sunlight, just actual sunlight. It's good for us. But spiritually, the Bible can be our sunlight, church. While plants grow towards the light, they long for the warmth and the strength that only sunlight can give. As children of God, we should also lean towards the light, which is His Word, for guidance and strength. It can give us warmth and comfort in times of struggle and lead us on the clear path in times of doubt. The Bible is a source of many things we need in our Christian life, okay? But remember, if we don't get our roots deep enough, then the sun can hurt us more than it can help us, right? It can keep us from growing. It can scorch us. Remember what Matthew 13 said in verse 6. "But when the sun came up, they were scorched. And because they did not have sufficient root, they withered." And then again in verse 21. "Because he has no root in himself and does not endure when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away." Okay? Persecution comes because of the word. You see that? So the word can hurt us still if we're not prepared to take in what the word says, right? Okay? Scripture can be used out of context many times. Did you know that? Who used scripture out of context? Satan himself, okay? If we don't have deep enough roots, then we might read something that scares us away or hinders our growth, okay? If we're not prepared to receive that, it could actually hurt us. So, last but not least, spiritual gardening necessity number three is water, and it's water to sustain us. So there's a story about a water bearer in India, and he had two large pots, and he would carry them on his shoulders. And he would carry from a river to a mansion, his master's mansion, to water things there. One of the pots had a crack in it, okay? And while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house, the crack pot would only arrive half full. Okay? For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to the master's house. The perfect pot was, of course, proud that he would always bring a full pot of water. He was so proud of his accomplishments. But the poor crackpot was ashamed of his imperfection, right? And he was miserable that he was only able to accomplish half of his job, okay? After 2 years of what perceived to be bitter failure, the crackpot decided to speak up to the bearer, okay? He said, "I'm ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you." The bearer asked, "Why? What are you ashamed of?" The pot said, "I've been able for the past 2 years to deliver only half of my load because of this crack in my side, and the water leaks out all the way back to the master's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work, and you don't get full value from your efforts." The water bearer felt sorry for the old crack pot, and in his compassion, he has said, "As we return to the master's house today, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path," right? So indeed, as they went up the hill, the old crackpot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wild flowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it some. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half of its load. And so again, it apologized to the bearer for its failure. Well, the bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were no flowers on the other side of the road? There was no flowers on the other side of the path, but only on your side? That's because I've always known about the flaw in the pot," right? He always knew that the crack was there. And the bearer used it to his advantage. He would take the flowers growing and decorate his master's house, which the master was well pleased with. Okay? Without that crack, those flowers wouldn't have been there. So without the water for the growth, it's not going to produce what it needs to produce, right? Water is a major importance for growth. I like to think of it as much needed water as a fellowship with fellow believers, right? Okay? Our water is this, our fellowship with one another. God didn't intend us to grow alone, but to be there to encourage each other, okay? Having a relationship with Christ is only part of it. Having a community of believers is the second part, okay? Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are assembled in my name, I am there among them." Fellow believers are meant to come together. We're meant to come together, loving one another and supporting each other as we grow. That's part of the church. We're growing together. Fellowship can be refreshing to a soil just like water can be to a plant. Okay? It can help perk us up. Okay? Maybe we need this to get us started for the week to come. Or it's a pick-me-up for a day that's just kind of been real rough. Okay? Fellowship is what matters. Let's continue looking at our scripture this morning. Verse 7 of Matthew 13. It says, "Other seed fell among the thorns." Okay? "And they grew up and choked them." So we're looking at being aware of who we're around. Okay, just like we can build each other up, we can put ourselves in bad situations. So Matthew 13:7, "Other seed fell among the thorns, and they grew up and choked them." And if you jump down to verse 22, it says, "The seed sown among thorns is the person who hears the word, but worldly cares and the seductiveness of wealth choke the word so it produces nothing." Who we hang around with, who we spend the most time with, will influence how we act, okay, and what we believe. If we have challenges in our life and hang out with those with similar issues or challenges, then we could be choked out, okay? We have to be prepared to put ourselves in those situations. So, those are the spiritual gardening necessities, 1, 2, and 3. I forgot to change number 2, so that's supposed to be a 3. But with that, you can do all this good gardening, watering, right? Good soil, sunlight. But you know what else comes with all that? Weeds, okay? So don't forget about the weeds, okay? They can sprout up in our gardens, and they can, both in real life and our spiritual life. Every gardener knows the difficulty of keeping weeds out of their garden. And that's my least favorite part about gardening, is taking care of the weeds. And Mel and I have tried many different things to limit that, and I have mixed feelings on all of them, but yeah. There's a saying about one gardener once said, says, when weeding, the best way to make sure you are removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant, okay? And personally, I would be the person pulling out the good plants and probably leaving the weeds, because some of them look legit, and I just don't know. But weeds come in all shapes, colors, sizes. They blend in sometimes. The worst weed in our spiritual gardens is Satan, church. He can sometimes be super easy to spot, right? While other weeds, like wayward friends or feelings of bitterness and anger, can be hard to spot or hard to keep away. They kind of sneak in there, right? If we continue on in our Matthew 13, jump down to verse 24, it says, "He presented them with another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a person who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat and went away. When the plant sprouted and produced grain, then the darnel also appeared." Weeds can choke plants out. They can create an atmosphere where growth can be impossible. Because what are they doing? They're stealing the nutrition. They're possibly blocking the sunlight. They're stealing water that you're trying to get to the plant, right? Weeds work in our lives much the same way as they do with plants, okay? They can distract us from Christ, church, as we pour all our vital nutrients into them instead of Christ's growth, okay? So, as I close this morning, I have another story. I had a lot of stories this week, and all the farmers out there could think they're on track with being right or not, but we'll see. But this last one is about a farmer who scattered his seed into the field, okay? He lives his daily life about going and doing his chores, right? So putting the seed in the field is just one step, and then you have to let it set, you have to do all that. And while he tends his garden and works in the garden, there is nothing he can do to make it grow right. He can just water it and, yeah. Suppose his neighbor asks him, "How does your garden grow?" He may say, "Oh, it's doing fine. The lettuce is up, the squash is vining out, and the tomatoes are setting already." "That's good," says the neighbor, "but I didn't ask how it is doing now, but how does it grow?" "Well," the guy says, "I put the seed in the ground, and I keep it watered, and maybe a touch of Miracle Grow here or there, and the warm sun, soon it comes and it starts growing," right? "Okay," the man says, "that's a little closer to an answer that I was looking for, but that is all about what you do, right? I mean, how does the seed grow?" Now, since this farmer studied agriculture at apparently Kansas State University, because that's the better of the two for agriculture I have found when I did my research. I could be wrong, and I didn't realize it, but I'm kind of supporting K-State today. But he starts to tell his neighbor about the parts of the seed, the endosperm, the epicotyl, I can't say it, the baby leaf inside, all the different parts about it, and the germination techniques, and the different times it takes. He tells them all about this. And the neighbor remarks, and he says, "Very interesting. But that tells me about how the parts of the seed and what the seed does. What I mean is, how does it grow?" The farmer thinks for a second, and then he says, "Well, I don't know. It just does. It's a seed. And you know what? That's what seeds do. Apparently not for us, babe. These seeds. This is what these seeds do." So my question is, so how does your spiritual garden grow? Okay? As a believer of Jesus Christ, we should be like a seed, right? And how do you grow? How do we grow? We just do. You should just do. As Christian, we should just grow. We should have a desire to grow. Okay? And that means growing in your knowledge of the Bible, your spiritual walk, your prayer time, whatever it may be. You should just have that desire to grow deeper. Okay? It should be there. How do we nurture growth depends on the following. We need strength. We need to strengthen ourselves with good soil, right? So we can do some steps to help this process through good soil by making our foundation Christ. We have to make sure we're getting sunlight from above. We need to be in His Word, church. We need to be reading through it. We need to be examining it. We need to be studying it. And making sure we are receiving refreshing water. We need to have that fellowship with other believers. Okay? We do all of this so we may find ourselves with strong roots that dig into our foundation in a close spiritual walk with our Father. Now, unintentionally, I lied and said that was my last story. I have another one. But in the 1920s, there was a young child in Cleveland, Ohio. One day, a famous athlete named Charlie Paddock, I don't know, anybody know who Charlie Paddock is? I didn't. Came to his school to speak to the students. At the time, Paddock was considered the fastest human being alive, okay? He told the children, "Listen, what do you want to be when you grow up? You name it, and then believe that God will help you be it," okay? That little boy decided that he too wanted to become the fastest human being on earth. The boy went to his track coach and told him his new dream. His coach told him, "It's great to have a dream, but to attain your dream, you must build a ladder to it. Here is the ladder to your dreams. The first rung is determination. And the second rung is dedication. The third rung is discipline. And the fourth rung is attitude." Okay? The result of all that motivation is what is that he went on to win 4 gold medals in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. He won the 100-meter dash and broke the Olympic world record for the 200-meter, and his broad jump record lasted for 24 years. And his name was Jesse Owens. We all have heard of Jesse Owens. And I believe, well, he's not the fastest man on earth. I can't think of what his name is. But it's a reminder that we have to work towards things. It's not just going to be handed to us. We're not just going to grow automatically. We have to work towards it sometimes, okay? Spiritual growth is not an accident. It's intentional, okay? We have to want to grow. We have to make that choice to grow deeper, church. As we close this morning, which is a little early, but that's okay. I wanted to sing a song, and with all the hassle this morning, I had computer issues, I wasn't able to get it, and I was debating on singing a cappella anyways, so we'll see how this goes. But I wanted to sing How Great Thou Art. So if you want to grab your hymnal, I think we have words up on the screen too, but we're going to sing How Great Thou Art together.